You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. We are going out to a just deplaned Derek Wallbank, who is a Washington correspondent for the Minnesota Post, but has some Michigan roots, so he pays attention to what goes on here as well. Good evening, Derek. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm thankful you're off the plane safely.
Yeah, you know, I am too. I just got into Des Moines, Iowa to cover the start of the presidential race, or the unofficial start, I should say. And it was 8 degrees and overcast. And so I'm considering starting an official petition to move the First in the Nation caucuses to Key West.
How do you think that'll go for you, Derek?
Yeah, probably not likely.
But, you know, you'd have a lot of media folks who would be ready to go with you. So if you can get that going.
I would.
We'll come back to that in a little bit, and I'm because I know you're always on top of the news. You know that the House Republicans did vote and vote to repeal Obamacare. But you wrote a great article for your newspaper, the Minnesota Post, about what this really means and kind of what was the gist of that article.
Well, the thing is, Cheryl, this is This is a bill that is destined to pretty much go and die in the graveyard if the Senate isn't going to do anything on it. And the reason for that is that Democrats control the Senate, Republicans control the House. Republicans want to get rid of the health care overhaul law, and you know, the Democrats don't. And it's as simple as that. So for your listeners, this policy-wise, this is about as inconsequential a vote as anything that's passed the House of Representatives can be. However, when you're looking at the politics of it, this is a really big deal because Republicans across the country, and they gained 63 seats running on a platform that largely included, we're going to try and repeal this thing. I mean, big, big wins. You know, Republicans said they were going to do this, and they've come out of that and they've done it. And Democrats at the same time are saying, well, this is fantastic because there's a ton of popular stuff in there, you know, letting your kids stay on your health insurance till they're 26 and expanded coverage for seniors, and you can't deny people based on pre-existing conditions, things like that. The Democrats are already hitting Republicans on. So this is an example, Cheryl, of a time when both sides think that they've got the political advantage, and of course, in about 1 year and 11 months' time, we'll find out who was right.
Well, and the Republicans that got there, I mean, they had campaigned on this is what we're going to do, so they had to follow through with it or lose credibility with the constituents.
Absolutely, absolutely. This was a given. This had to happen, and it's probably best for the Republicans that they did it now, because January is a time when not much happens in Congress right after the January, right after an election. So this is a pretty good timing for them to get it done, to put it out there. And then tomorrow is going to be key because they're going to put forward a bill that says we're going to try and replace the health care bill that we just tried to kill. And they've got a list of things that they want in this replacement legislation, but that's going to be a key going forward to see how that gets crafted. What you want to watch for is this getting crafted in a way that Democrats might actually come to the table and support something, or is this getting crafted in a way where it's largely, again, symbolic and a statement of purpose? I mean, that's going to be a key thing to watch here.
Well, and as you say, the next step is what is critical. They said we're going to vote for repeal of the health care law. Now they've got to come up with their own ideas. They've got to come up with something that they think is viable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely they do, and they're going to have to test it against the status quo in terms of, does it save money? Does it cover more people? Who does it leave out? All of these complicated discussions that went on during the last time, where Democrats really lost a lot of face, even among their own voters, because some people think they didn't go far enough. You know, this is a very, policymaking and being in the majority is a very difficult thing to do, and the Republican Party is about to find out exactly how difficult it is. if they can navigate this, they'll be in really good shape going forward. But if they can't, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
It was a 245 to 189 vote. According to what I'm reading there, three Democratic defectors. That doesn't surprise you at all, the vote, does it?
It doesn't surprise me at all. The thing that is interesting is you look at the list of Democrats who voted against the health care bill last session, and then were still around to vote on this one. An overwhelming majority of those specific folks voted to keep this bill. That's a significant thing. That says that Democrats were able to get across the message to their own lawmakers that this was a symbolic vote, that this was a political vote. And I talked to a few of them who said, look, this isn't a serious attempt to do anything. We're not going to get behind it. So that was key. This was a lot more party line than perhaps the Republicans would have hoped.
I see. Now, you and I had just a few moments to talk. Of course, China's president is in Washington, D.C. right now, and watched part of that press conference with President Obama this afternoon. Harry Reid had some interesting remarks this afternoon. What did you hear about that?
Well, Harry Reid happened to slip in a local interview and referred to China's President Hu Jintao as a dictator, which is not exactly the statesmanlike language that perhaps the Chinese were hoping for. It was interesting today, Cheryl, because I started off the day looking over Chinese state-run media to see how they were playing this. And they were very much trying to talk about this as an opportunity to go forward from strength to strength, downplayed a lot of the differences between the U.S. and China, and we're really trying to hype this as a game-changing moment. I don't think that that the level of criticism that they're getting, including people like Harry Reid, like John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, not going to the state dinner tonight, I think that was a little bit more than the Chinese were expecting. And then today in the press conference, they, of course, got asked by a Bloomberg reporter, about China's human rights record, and he didn't answer the question immediately, so the reporter restated it. It was an interesting moment, but it'll be an interesting thing to see how that plays going forward, see how the Obama administration reacts, and what actual substantial change comes out of this, as opposed to just sort of posturing and formalities.
Certainly. Now, you said, of course, that you're landed in Des Moines, Iowa, just a very short time ago. And, you know, a year and 11 months out, what are the events that you're in Des Moines for this evening or this next couple of days?
Well, Cheryl, this is, you know, we've started off the 2011 season, and over the next two or three months, you're really going to get an idea of the Republican field starting to take shape, the Republicans who want to run for president. And what I'm in town for, Michelle Bachmann, the darling of the Tea Party right and founder of the Tea Party caucus in the House, is coming to speak to a group called Iowans for Tax Reform. So she's coming on Friday. Newt Gingrich will be here early next week. Tim Pawlenty, the former governor of Minnesota, who's looking at running, will be here late next week. And you're really starting to see a lot of this sort of thing gin up, people coming to Iowa, to New Hampshire, to South Carolina, these early states, and try and test and see how much support they have, how much support they think they can have, how much money they think they can raise, is really the testing out phase before, you know, we really get into the heart of it. But make no mistake, political election season 2012 has already begun.
Now, you know, folks, I mean, sometimes we get weary, voters, and I'm speaking for me, you get weary of it starting so soon. I mean, we just finished this, and here we're after it again.
Yeah, definitely. But you want to know something funny? This is actually slow. Last time, this is the last election, coming up at an open seat, when George W. Bush was term limited out of office, you had all of this stuff starting months earlier. I mean, you had people starting to declare in December. So far, no major candidate has declared. The only person of really any note who's declared is the CEO of Godfather Pizza. And I don't know how many people in your listening audience have had Godfather Pizza, but it's, you know, that's sort of where we are. Last time you had a whole bunch of people who had declared or had made their intentions pretty clear. So this is actually starting a little bit late, although I'm sure it doesn't feel like it, just coming off of the election. And, oh, look, it's January, and we're starting this again.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, Derek, I appreciate your bird's eye view of what goes on in Washington, D.C., and the way you tell it to us just like it is. And I appreciate you joining us literally right off the plane. I was when I looked over at Scott and he said you were there, I said, oh, thank heavens.
Well, you know, I'm here whenever you call, so feel free to do it again. And it's a pleasure talking with somebody back in my adopted hometown.
There you go. Well, we love that it's your adopted hometown. Thank you so much, Derek, and have a good week.
Have a great one.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Derek Wallbank, who is the Washington correspondent for the Minnesota Post, formerly right here in Lansing with the Lansing State Journal, and that's how we made a connection over the time. So like I said, he likes to keep track of what goes on here as well. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends right after this.